Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the forecast. Let's bring in, I'm cooler than normal, Pat Pagano. Good morning, Pat.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about this weather, but there is nothing we could do about it, folks. We just have to grin and bear it. Some of you may love it. Today won't be as hot or humid as yesterday, but still upper 80s to around 90 and sunny. No rain. Partly cloudy, mid-60s tonight, and then that's it. Some sun and humid with chance of thunderstorms Wednesday, mid-80s. They could happen in the morning and again in the afternoon. And we're under a slight risk that some of these could be severe. Thursday, we're under a marginal risk that showers and thunderstorms could be severe, 85 to 90. And your partly cloudy, less humid weather for Friday could go out the window. From what I'm seeing right now, the front could hang up a little bit and still give us a shower or thunderstorm in the 80s. What does that mean for the weekend? Anybody's guess. I think northern New England has a great chance of having dry weather on Saturday. Southern New England, which includes us, on the fence. And everyone goes back into heat and humidity Sunday, and that could trigger some thunderstorms again. How do you like those apples?
I like those apples.
Also?
Because they're the only apples we got.
Well, that's true. That's true. And there are two tropical waves, one over the Caribbean, one over the central South Atlantic. And the Hurricane Center says that the one over the Caribbean that has like a 20% chance of developing, and the one over the South Central Atlantic has a 40% chance of becoming a tropical depression. So we'll be looking at that. And if it does, we did have, we had Dolly. Did we have Edward? I don't remember.
No, we didn't. No.
That could be Edward. Oh, no, yeah, we passed that. We had Faye. So the next one is Gonzalo.
Should have been Godzilla.
I was just going to say, should have been Godzilla. Take a look at your email. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Marshall Miles' Ask a Computer Question. By the way, the service guy's coming down for the copier today. He'll be here this morning.
All right. So hang on. Let me see my email here.
I sent you a screenshot.
Hang on. Let me go to this email.
You know, folks, this is what happened. Earlier this morning, Microsoft decides to do an update. And they changed the appearance of my folder and how my folder looks. And I have no idea how to get it back to my original looking folder. And Marshall must say, well, Pat, you're out of luck because that is the way it has to be.
You got it. That's a Windows 10 update.
That is. So that's where it's got to be now, huh?
Yeah. And if you go to, there's only one chance you have. And that's up top where it says view.
Yeah.
See if you can change the view. Click on view and see if it enables you to change the view.
View. It gives me a whole bunch of stuff on the top.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, so it doesn't give you a chance really to change it.
Hide items, options, columns, medium icon, slides. Nope. Doesn't really. Nope.
Well, you're stuck with it.
Thank you.
And it's interesting you bring that up because we have been having our main computer has been shutting down unexpectedly over the past couple of months. Okay. So I finally got a hold of our vendor, which supplies the on-air service that we have, the computer system. And we went over some things and spent about an hour and a half on the phone yesterday and found out that we had two USB ports fighting for power at various times, and the computer would just shut down.
Huh.
So he said, well, you're going to have to get a new external sound card that's not powered by the computer. So I said, well, why don't you look online, and I'll go home and I'll look online. So I went home, and I spent about 2.5 hours going online and looking for things and finding things at my home studio, and then I contacted Broadcast Supply Worldwide, and I told them what I needed, and they said they'd call me back in an hour. They'd see if they could find something. And so I'm sitting there now, and I'm going through Amazon. I'm going through all these other radio companies looking to buy a self-powered external audio mixer, okay?
Okay.
And I'm giving up. I can't find anything. Now, I'm in my home studio, and I look in front of me, and my microphone at my home studio is plugged into a piece of equipment that looks like the sound card that I had here, external sound card at the station. But I look at it, and it's not supplied power by the computer. It's got a plug-in portal. It was right in front of me all along. I already owned it. So,
wow.
After 3.5 to 4 hours of searching and looking and saying, oh, I was going to have to spend up to like $280. I had it right here in front of me. So I brought it in and I installed it. And I took the one that was in here and I brought that home and installed it home because there's no other competition. Now, over the past week or so, or 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, there's been like a hashiest kind of sound in the background every once in a while.
Right. Yeah, you were saying about that. You were complaining about that.
Well, since I installed this self-powered sound card,
right,
I haven't heard any of that hash this morning. None. None of
really?
That hash or static. So I've got a feeling that it was all interconnected, and I found out by mistake.
Stuff.
Isn't that something? Well, I'll find out. I mean, I'll listen to it over the course of the day. I mean, I can't be that lucky. I can't be that lucky. But the sound also sounds better. It sounds better. And so, like, anyways, it's great. The salesman for Broadcast Supply Worldwide called me back. And I said, oh, Jeff, geez, thanks. But, you know, I said, sitting here right in front of me in my home studio was one of those. And he started to laugh, and he goes, well, I'm glad, because we didn't have anything in stock that we could have gotten you. So it worked out in the long run for me, I think. And I think I killed two birds with one stone.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, well, it was, I guess it must have been about 9 o'clock last evening. The office phone rang. And I'm looking around. I'm thinking to myself, there are no thunderstorms around. You know, who would call me at 9 o'clock? I mean, when we had the movie clients, they'd call at any time.
Yeah.
So I run into the office and I pick it up, and he said, Metro? I said, yes. He said, this is so-and-so from the copier company. I said, yes. He said, are you located in Orangeburg, Connecticut? I said, no, I'm not. He goes, you're in New York, right? I said, yeah. He goes, wow, that's a real relief off my shoulders. He said, because I Googled it, and Orangeburg, Connecticut from Long Island is 73 miles away. I said, no. I said, I'm in New York. He said, all right. He said, I'll be there tomorrow to repair your copier. I said, and can you please give me a time? He said, well, I'm leaving here at 7:30 in the morning. I said, well, you should be here between 8:30 and 9. I mean, traffic is not as bad as it normally would be because of the virus. So he said, okay, great. I'll see you then. And I wanted to say to him, I certainly hope you're going to fix this thing once and for all, because this is the third visit in less than a month. So we'll see what happens when he comes down today.
It's crazy. So now Clara Lenfest, who's watching this morning on Facebook Live, asked the question, what are your views concerning New York making it a law to wear masks? I say good for them. Just like Connecticut now. If you come into Connecticut, doesn't matter whether you come in by air, boat, or car. If you're coming from one of 29 states that now have infection rates that are high, they'll track you down. They'll find you. You'll have to sign a release. You'll have to self-quarantine. They'll check on you. And if you get caught, it's going to be $1,000 fine right off the bat.
The thing is, it has been proven already that if you wear a mask, it is definitely healthier. And I think Connecticut and New York and New Jersey have proven that. Although I did see yesterday that New Jersey was spiking again, but I believe they were saying that is principally along the shore because of the crowds gathering for the beaches.
The only way you can keep the spikes down is to keep people that have from coming into the state. That's all you can do now that you've got it down lower. And the Region 1 school district here in Connecticut, and I know Weebatuck had to put one together in Pine Plains over in New York and Taconic, all how to put their plans together and send them to the state for reopening, and then the state will decide how to reopen the schools.
That's a toughie, you know, and they, I don't know if you knew this, but Governor Cuomo was asked to go to Savannah yesterday to talk to them and tell them how it was done here, because they need assistance.
Yeah.
And they were broadcasting that, and I was listening to him, and one person said to him, Governor, when do you expect New York to reopen for Broadway and this and that and everything? He said, well, like Savannah, we're a tourist spot as well. He said, I don't feel that we can open until the rest of the nation is safe.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not going to have these people, you know, from other states coming up here and spreading the virus back. He said, we worked very hard to get to the point that we're at, and we don't intend to go backwards. And I thought that was a great answer. But here's my question to you, and I don't know if you can answer it. I'm a New York resident, obviously, but I have a home in Florida, and I've been in Florida now for 2 months, and I'm driving back. I'm at New York plates. I'm driving back to come to New York. How does New York expect?
They don't. It's one of those things. People have to self quarantine. If they don't,
well, what if you don't?
All right. Well, then they're going to create a hotspot, and sooner or later they'll find them, and they'll get sooner or later through back. You know, going find who they had contact with. They'll trace back, and they'll find out. Okay, you didn't self quarantine. Boom, $2,000 fine.
Okay. What happens? What happens if I'm coming from Florida with Florida plates? How do I get signaled out? I mean, there's no roadblocks or anything like that.
No, but let's say you've got Florida plates and you're traveling in a state of area, Connecticut, where the police patrols haven't seen you before. Guess what?
They're going to pull you over.
They'll pull you over.
Okay.
They'll pull you
all
over.
All right, because I really do feel that, you know as well as I do, a lot of people from Florida now, number one, heat, although we have heat as well, but a lot of them do come north in the summertime, and especially now with the virus count rising there, they may think about coming north. So I worry about that.
Well, my brother has a second house in South Carolina, and so I've called him frequently, and I said, don't come back here, because you're going to have to quarantine in your house for 14 days. At least in South Carolina, you're free to go about and do what your business is. I said, you're going to have to hold off for a while. So he's going to hold off for a while, and because it's just, you know, if you've got to follow, you know, this Sunday, Bash Bish Falls, whatever they call it, which has the highest freestanding waterfall, had 1,000 people there. It's closed. They had to bring in 3 different police agencies to empty it out. Falls and Falls Village. We've had hundreds of people come there, and because it's a beautiful falls, and it's hard to control, Pat. That's all we can say.
Yeah,
and
it really is.
We're going to keep the weather there, so people are going to want to go out and get cool somehow. All right, we're out of time here, Pat.
Thank you very much, Marshall. And everybody, stay cool, be safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.
And remember, wear the damn mask.
Thank you.
All right, Pat, goodbye. Pat Pagano and the Weather Center this morning with a check on our tri-state forecast here on Robin Hood Radio.